This morning, we discussed up to the point when Krishna is born. Does Krishna ever take birth? No. Ajopi sanabhayatma. Krishna is aja, Krishna is unborn. But prakritim sham adhishthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Taking advantage of his internal potency, he manifests himself. Atma mayaya. So Krishna manifests himself. And to the people, generally it seems that Krishna is born. But Krishna doesn't need to take birth. Why Krishna takes birth? For various reasons. One reason is, when a devotee wants to have Krishna as his or her son, then Krishna fulfills the desire of that devotee. Oh, you want me to have you become your son? Okay, I'll become your son. Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. Bhakta Vatsal. Je jatha maam prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajamaham. Krishna reciprocates the way a devotee wants him. The way a devotee serves him, Krishna reciprocates. Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. Devotees say, Krishna, I want you to become my son. And Krishna fulfills that desire. So that's one reason, to fulfill the desires of his devotees. Another reason is, of all of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna performs his pastimes in various ways. Like in as Lord Nrisingadev, he appeared from a pillar. As Meena incarnation, he appeared from the nose of Brahma. As Kurma, he just appeared from nowhere. The need was there to keep the Mandar mountain floating in the sense supported on the milk ocean so that the demigods and demons could churn the milk ocean. So that churning rod had to be rested because the milk ocean is so deep that Mandar mountain just sank. So they became very frustrated. Now what do we do? The demigods and demons started to wander, and Krishna came as Kurmadev, and he said, my back is scratching, so you scratch my back with the mountain. So they placed the mountain on Kurmadev's back. And so in this way, various way Krishna actually appears. Sometimes he comes directly. Dwarka se chale Gopal, Garur ke bichhari. When Gajendra was in distress, the king of elephants, and he started to pray to Krishna, then Krishna came straight from Dwarka to rescue his devotees. So in this way you can see Krishna can come in any way he wants. But of all his pastimes, the most wonderful pastimes is his pastimes as human being. Krishnero jateko khela tar moddhe noro lila noro bopu taharo sharup. Of all the pastimes of Krishna, his pastimes as a human being, Narolila is the best. Sarvottama Lila. The best Lila is his human-like pastime. So, to come as a human and act like a human, he had to take birth. Therefore, he takes birth. As Lord Ramchandra, he took birth. As a human being. Dasharath's son. So, similarly, as Krishna, to perform his pastimes as a human being, he appeared as a human being, took birth in Vrindavan. And what is the purpose of Krishna's pastimes? The purpose of Krishna's pastimes is to attract the living entities. The purpose of our existence is to become connected to Krishna. Why we are alive? Why we are existing? If we consider that point, why we are existing? What is the purpose of our existence? Then the simple answer will be to become connected to Krishna. That's the only goal we have, to become connected to Krishna. Because if we become connected to Krishna, then all our problems will be solved and all that we want will be achieved. So that is the purpose of our life, to become connected to Krishna. Why connected to Krishna? Because we are Krishna's part and parcel. Part and parcel means a part of Krishna. We are a part of Krishna. So if the part is separated from the whole, then does that part have any meaning or any purpose? No. For example, this finger, this little finger, is a part of my body. If the finger is cut off from the body, will this finger have any value? But when it is connected to the body, it is so important. Similarly, because we are parts of Krishna, therefore the goal of our existence is to become connected to Krishna. We are parts of Krishna, we have become separated from Krishna. Therefore, our existence doesn't have any meaning. We are just transmigrating from one body to another in this world, endlessly, one after another. In that respect, another consideration is, if we consider physics, like there are two things. The positive particle and negative particle. Electron and proton. Proton is positive, electron is negative. If the electron is not connected, if the electron is on its own, it just keeps on moving. But when it comes in contact with proton, it becomes stable. Then it doesn't need anything. Now he is satisfied. Similarly, we are endlessly just wandering around. Kobhu sharge, kobhu morte, naroke ba kobhu. Kobhu deep, kobhu dev, kobhu daitya. In this way, we are wandering. But we are never satisfied. We are just endlessly moving around, searching for happiness. And it will continue unless and until we come in contact with Krishna. Just as the electron becomes now peaceful, it has come in contact with the proton. Similarly, when we come in contact with Krishna, we become peaceful. Otherwise, we are just trying to enjoy endlessly, not having any enjoyment whatsoever. So that is the goal of our life. Therefore, we must utilize this existence to develop our relationship with Him. And the means have been provided by Krishna Himself. by performing his pastimes, he is actually showing us how wonderful it is to be connected to him. This morning I was noticing that when I was speaking about Krishna, everyone was listening with rapt attention. Just to hear about Krishna is so wonderful, so interesting, so exciting, so fulfilling. So what to speak of becoming connected to Krishna? How wonderful it will be when you become literally connected to Krishna. And the way to become connected is, what is the means to establish connection? When we develop our relationship with the person, we develop our connection with him. Love brings us together. So if we want to become connected to Krishna, then we have to love Krishna. When you love somebody, don't you want to be with that person? And when you hate somebody, do you want to be with him? So love unites and hatred separates. So if we want to be united to Krishna, with Krishna, if we want to be connected to Krishna, if we want to develop our relationship with Krishna, then we have to develop our love for him. We have to offer our love to him. Love is there in everyone's heart. Why everyone's heart? Because the soul is in the heart, in the region of the heart. And the love is a characteristic of the soul. It is the soul that loves. Is there anybody who doesn't want to love somebody here? Everybody wants to love somebody. And everybody wants to be loved by somebody. So this desire to love is there in everyone. But the point is, we have to find out who to love. And we get to know, if we're fortunate, that the only object of our love is Krishna. And when we develop our love for Krishna, then the soul becomes completely content. Yes, in this world we are trying to develop relationship through the body. We want to love, one body wants to love another body. Whichever loving relationship is there in this material nature is never fulfilling. Mother naturally loves a son or children. But the children grows up and becomes a rascal. Then is the loving relationship there? No. Mother may still love the child, but the child doesn't care for the mother. It's happening in today's world. The children don't care for their parents. Husband loves his wife, wife loves her husband. But often we find, although they started off, with a loving note, but very soon they start to hate each other. They start to fight, and the fight ultimately ends in the court, in divorce, separation. See, love brought them together, but hatred separated them. It's happening everywhere. The relationships are breaking off. Why? Because that is not the object of love. Therefore, no one is satisfied. This love is the craving of the soul. And unless the soul gets that object of love, the soul will never be satisfied. Soul will never be content. And even if the love is wonderful in this world, but then what happens? In course of time, they become separated. Death comes and takes away. Okay, you love. I'm taking away. I'm sorry, I have to take your loving object away from you. And instead of joy, now the love is causing pain. you know the story of Romeo and Juliet? The big love story. In every culture you'll find this Romeo-Juliet love affair. Romeo-Juliet, Laila-Majnu, and what to speak of in Indian culture. There are so many such love stories. Although they're ideal love, they can't really stay without each other. But they have to part. Like in Romeo and Juliet, what happened? A big love story by Shakespeare. They thought that if Juliet is pretending that she is dead, then first of all, their families were inimical towards each other. So they fell in love with each other, although the families are in big conflict. And they would never allow them to become together. So the plan was that Juliet would take some potion, some medicine, that would make her dead. But it was just for the time being. And then she will come back to life. So she was dead, and Romeo thought that she died. She's dead. And he couldn't bear the separation from Juliet, so he took poison and he died. Then when Juliet came back to life and saw that Romeo is dead, she also took the poison and killed herself. So the point is, the biggest love stories end in a tragedy. So that's the material nature. Even if, you know, we do not want to separate. In love, they all want to become together forever. Although they say that even in death we'll not part. But death comes away and then nobody knows. Won't part. But after death, because we don't know the soul, but we know only the body, when the body is cremated or the body is buried or burnt, then the body is gone. Now where is the soul? We don't know. But the thing is that when we develop our love for Krishna, then that becomes permanent love affair. Mainly because Krishna loves us irrespective of everything. He loves us, that's why he is taking care of us. Although we hate him, we do not care for him. Although we are totally unconcerned about him, but Krishna is taking care of us. Why? Because he loves us. Look at all the arrangements. Who made all these arrangements? This world to begin with, this is the world in darkness. This material nature is dark. But Krishna arranged the sun. And as a result of the sun, there is light. Just can you consider existing here without sun, without the sun? It will be eternal darkness. We won't be able to do anything. We won't be able to see anything. So Krishna arranged the sun. Everything that Krishna arranged, the seasons are changing. In some season, the flowers will grow. Spring. The flowers will come in the trees. Then, in summer, the flowers will be transformed into the fruits. And then in autumn, the fruits will ripen. We get the fruits. We get the grains. Rains are coming to nourish the harvest. and we are getting the food in the form of grains, rice, wheat, corn, millet. So in this way, Krishna is providing for our food. There are various vegetables that are growing because of the rain, because of the soil is providing the nourishment to the plants, because of the rays of the sun, because of the nectar from the moon. So who made all these arrangements? We are breathing, we need oxygen to breathe. We are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. And this supply is endless, inexhaustible. Why? Because we are giving carbon dioxide, trees and plants are taking carbon dioxide and giving back oxygen. Now, which fool ever say that these are all accidental arrangements? Unfortunately, today's world has become filled with fools. And that's why they think that these are all accidental arrangements. No. These are the arrangements of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is making all these arrangements for all of us. Why? Because He loves us. Because He is the Supreme Father. Because He is our dearmost friend. Because He is our Supreme Well-Wisher. So that is why it is necessary, it is important that we recognize how much Krishna loves us. And then when we recognize how much He loves us, then we feel the natural impulse to love Him. That's why it's a matter of just becoming aware of who Krishna is and what He is doing for us. And when we recognize that, then we automatically feel that that inclination to love Him, desire to love Him. And it is not difficult to love Him, because the love is generated, or the love depends on attraction. It is due to attraction that we fall in love. And those features of attraction are principally six. There are six features, six aspects of attraction. Beauty. We become attracted to beauty. We become attracted to strength, power. We become attracted to wealth. We become attracted to knowledge. We become attracted to fame. And we become also attracted to renunciation. Now, these six aspects of attraction is perfectly and completely existing in Krishna. He is the most beautiful, He is the most powerful, He is the most famous, He is the most wealthy, He is the most knowledgeable or wisest, and He is, in spite of all that, He is absolutely renounced, totally detached. So that's why it's not difficult to fall in love with Krishna. It's only we have to become attracted. We become exposed to Him. Get to know Him. Who He is. And what He is like. What He is able to do. So that's why there's need to hear about Krishna. And that's why we are trying to make all these arrangements, that we can hear about Krishna, speak about Krishna, remembering Krishna, and trying to develop our relationship with Krishna. So Krishna is born and Kamsa is worried. Now this is a natural phenomena. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is most kind, most benevolent, most generous and most caring, most loving, but still the demons, they can't accept him. They want to kill him. They don't want to accept his existence. There is no God. And if at all people want to establish, no, there is God, there is God, they say, well, I'll kill your God. And now your God is dead. I killed him. That's the demoniac attitude. I'll kill him. So Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. And what did he do? He sent his associates to start killing all the children because they couldn't figure out where Krishna appeared. And one demoness, Rakshashi, Putana, went to kill Krishna. She assumed the form of a 16-year-old most beautiful girl. She was so beautiful, she assumed, she is a Rakshashi, her features were disgusting and horrible. But she had the power. Therefore, these mystic powers are not really a sign of spiritual advancement. The demons have mystic power. So nowadays we are seeing people are so much impressed with mystic power. Can you imagine if somebody came here on the stage and became one right in front of your eyes, changed his form, how would you all feel? I'm saying maybe you won't be so impressed because now I told you. But just consider if there is an announcement that such and such person can change his form, then what will happen? Millions of people will come there and millions of people will think he is God because he can change his form, because he can show some mystic opulence, mystic power. Didn't you see in the past? Somebody could create, not even change his form. Somebody created some ash and somebody created some diamond rings or watch and things, gave it to somebody and he was taken as God. Bhagavan such and such. Now, can you imagine how Kamsa's associates would have been treated in this world if they came now? Like Putana, Rakshashi, assume the form of a 16-year-old beautiful girl. So enchanting that everybody was spellbound. She came to Nanda Maharaj's house. Generally, when a stranger comes, people ask, oh, who are you? And so forth. But she was so beautiful that everybody became completely bewildered and nobody questioned who she was. They started to wonder, she must be one of the demigods. Maybe Indra's wife, Sachi, came. Some even thought, maybe Lakshmi Devi came to see her husband. And no one stopped her, no one questioned her. And she walked straight to the Andar Mahal, the inner part of the house. And there, Krishna was with Mother Yashoda and other gopis. And they also didn't question. Like, generally we think beauty with auspiciousness. If someone is beautiful, we think, oh, if she must be very, very wonderful. But sometimes some beautiful women can become
not what we think them to be. And anyway, so she went, and Krishna was on Mother Yashoda's lap. So she picked up Krishna and said, "Oh, I'm feeling such affection for this child. Can I please carry him for a minute?" Well, Mother Yashoda didn't object. She picked up Krishna and she exposed her breast and offered it to Krishna. But what was the purpose? In her breast, instead of milk, she was carrying poison to give it to Krishna, to kill him. But who can kill Krishna? So Krishna took her breast, and along with her milk, he also took the poison from her breast. And along with that poison, he also took her life air. And now Putana started to scream, leave me, let me go." But Krishna wouldn't let her go, just held on to her. Putana ran out of the house, assuming her terrible form, huge, gigantic form. And that form was so big that Krishna considered that if she dies here and falls, then along with her she will destroy so many people, will be crushed, so many houses will be crushed. She was so big, so gigantic. So Krishna made her run out of the village into the field. And there she fell dead. So everyone came running, thinking that, Krishna must be crushed, must have been crushed by this terrible demoness. So you can see the painting, Putana dead. What a huge body, and Krishna is playing on her chest. How little. They thought that even by that, by her finger, Krishna will be crushed. But didn't. Krishna was on her chest. Putana died. And it has been mentioned that Putana actually got the position of Krishna's mother. After leaving her body, Putana went back to Godhead. Went back to Vrindavan. And got the position of Krishna's mother. Mother means not just Yashoda's position, but there are various positions of mother. Elderly woman, the friend of the mother, is also treated as mother. The Dhatri Mata, the nurse, is treated as a mother. So anyway, Putana got that position, motherly position. The point is, although she came to kill Krishna, she was elevated to the spiritual world. So this is how merciful Krishna is. Just because she gave him her breast like a mother for him to drink her breast milk. "Oh, you came to me as my mother? Okay, I'll take you as my mother." So that is how wonderful Krishna is. So can you imagine just a little in a favorable attitude towards Krishna, what can it give us? Even a person goes to Krishna with an intention to kill him, achieves spiritual perfection. So what to speak of those who go to Krishna with a favorable attitude to serve him? So this is how wonderful Krishna is. Because of Putana's elevation or spiritual achievement, when they were burning her body, they couldn't burn the whole body. It was so big. They had to cut the body into pieces. And piece by piece, they had to burn that body. And when a body was burning, a beautiful fragrance permeated everywhere because her body was sanctified, purified. So, so this is how Putana was delivered, although he came to kill Krishna. Then, in this, then Putana is dead, but they wanted to take advantage, they wanted to take revenge, Kamsa. And they said, okay, send somebody else. So the next one to come to kill Krishna was Shakatasura. Shakatasura was a demon who was hiding in a cart. And it was a festivity. Krishna is now 3 months old. So there was this festivity. Krishna is turning to his side. And so the festival was going on. So many people came in the house of Nanda Maharaj. Mother Yashoda was so busy. So she kept Krishna under this cart. Thought that, well, Krishna is sleeping, so let him sleep here. And the cart was full of utensils and other things. Heavy things were kept on that cart. But the carts are generally strong. Nobody ever thought that there can be any danger under the cart. But this demon came, Shakatasura, and he wanted to kill Krishna. But what Krishna did? Krishna just touched the cart with his little foot and the cart collapsed. And all these heavy utensils just got scattered, making a terrible sound. Mother Yashoda practically died out of anxiety. My God, what happened? I kept the son, kept my little child under the cart, and now the cart broke. But she came and found the child was totally safe. And some of the little boys who were playing there, they told what happened. Krishna just kicked the cart and the cart collapsed. Actually, what happened? This demon that came to with an intention to kill Krishna, Krishna kicked the demon and the demon was dead. Just one kick from Krishna's lotus feet was good enough to send the demon to his ultimate destination. Kamsa and his people started to become more and more anxiety. What's happening? Putana is dead. Shakatasura is dead. Then there was a big demon called Trinavarta. So Trinavarta is sent now. Go, kill that child. Trinavarta, you're very powerful. You can assume the form of a cyclone, a tornado. So you go and kill the child. So at that time, Krishna was on Mother Yashoda's lap. And all of a sudden, Mother Yashoda felt that Krishna became so heavy. So she couldn't keep Krishna on her lap. So she placed Krishna on the ground, unable to keep him on his lap. What happened? Krishna could make out that Trinavarta is coming. Krishna knew what Trinavarta is coming there for. And he was worried. If I am in my mother's lap, then probably Trinavarta will take my mother also along with me. And mother won't be safe. So he separated himself from the mother, and then Trinavarta came in the form of, all of a sudden, there's a whirlwind, terrible wind, And Trina, the dry grass and dry twigs and branches and stone chips and pebbles, they just kept on flying, the dust kept on flying everywhere. And nobody could see what was happening because everything was completely covered and they couldn't keep their eyes open because the eyes were also being affected by this dust and dry leaves. Actually, what happened? This Trinavarta came and picked up Krishna in the form of a whirlwind and he went high up in the sky. The intention was that he will drop Krishna from that height and this child will be dead. But again, who can harm the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Little Krishna, what he did? He put his arm around Trinavarta's neck. Just like a child often when he's on the mother or father's lap, puts his hand around the neck. He just put his arm innocently around Trinavarta's neck. And he was clinging on to Trinavarta. Trinavarta went to that height. He wanted to drop, but he found that the child's arm is around his neck. So he tried to separate the arm and drop him, but he couldn't. On the other hand, now that arm around his neck started to become tighter and tighter and tighter, like a vice. Becoming closing closer and closer and closer. And now Trinavarta cannot breathe. He tried his best to get the separate himself from that arm around his neck. But he couldn't. But rather the arm is becoming tighter and tighter, suffocating him. Being suffocated in this way, Trinavarta lost all his power. He practically fainted, becoming powerless. And from that height, now he fell. And on what did he fall? A huge boulder, big piece of stone. So you can well imagine what happened. Trinavarta also is dead. So what lesson do we learn from this? Don't try to kill Krishna. If you try to kill Krishna, then he will be killed in the process. Just accept his supremacy. Instead of trying to kill him, try to love him. Instead of becoming inimical to him, surrender unto him. So this is how the next demon that Krishna killed was Trinavarta. So now Krishna is about 5 years old. And when the children are 5 years old, they are given the calves to take care of. This is their apprenticeship period of cowherd profession. Before they are given charge of bigger cows, they are given charge of the small calves to take care. Like you are small, they are small, the calves are small, so take care. So Krishna and Balaram with their friends went to the bank of Jamuna to tend the cows, tend the calves. Now the next demon came from Kamsa. And he assumed the form of a calf, Batsasura. Balaram saw that. Krishna felt that this calf is looking strange. So he told Balaram, Balaram, don't you see that this is a strange calf? We never seen this one. We never seen this one before. Balaram said, yes. looks like one of those Kamsa's associates came to harm. Anyway, I'm going to kill him. Krishna says, no, not you, I'll kill him. And then all of a sudden, this calf came charging towards Krishna and tried to kick him with his legs, hind legs. But what did Krishna do? Grabbed him by the hind legs, started to swing him overhead. Dead. So now you're convinced that nobody can kill Krishna, no matter how powerful one is. But Kamsa wouldn't give up. So next one he sent is Bakasura. Baka is a crane. Now you all know Baka, bird. And they, one day they saw this bird, crane, a gigantic one, huge bird. And the little boys, oh, look what a big bird here is. So all the boys ran to see the bird. And while they're watching, this demon just swallowed Krishna up. With his beak, he lifted Krishna, and Krishna all of a sudden found himself in the mouth of this big bird. So what did Krishna do? Okay, the bird was big, so Krishna also expanded himself. So much so that he got stuck on its neck. And he started to emanate fire from his body. The Baka couldn't tolerate that. It spat him out. And then again he went to swallow Krishna. But this time Krishna took the lower jaw, lower beak of the bird and pressed it with one foot to the ground. And with his hands he held on to the upper beak and he gave a big tug, big jerk. And what happened? The bird's body was split into two. Baka is dead. Baka was exceptionally angry with Krishna before because Krishna killed his sister. Remember? Putana was Baka's sister. So in this way, Bakasura is killed. Then Kamsa had another friend, Aghasura. So one day, the children were taking the calves onto the pasturing ground, and on the way they saw this huge snake. They couldn't make out that it was a snake. Aghasura came in the form of a snake, a huge snake. And he had his mouth open, and his mouth looked like a cave, mountain cave. So all the cowherd boys became very excited. Oh, we found a new cave to play with. Let's go inside and see what's there. And they just rushed into Aghasura's mouth, along with the calves. That day, Balaram didn't come. Because that day was Balaram's birthday. And Mother Rohini kept Balaram at home. Because it was his birthday, she wanted to keep Balaram there at home. So Krishna was standing there and thinking, what to do now? Innocently, all these boys have entered into this demon's mouth. Now, how to save them? And Aghasura also was waiting for Krishna to enter. And his intention was that as soon as Krishna would enter, he would close his mouth and kill Krishna. So finally, Krishna just walked into his mouth. And as soon as Krishna entered his mouth, Aghasura closed his mouth. But again, who can harm Krishna? So Krishna expanded himself and started to emanate fire from his body, heat from his body. So Agha could not, he was writhing, he was in pain, he was writhing, twisting and turning and trying to get rid of Krishna, trying to spit Krishna out, but he couldn't. Krishna is stuck on his throat. And he was in such pain and he didn't know how to leave his body. So he left his body through his Brahmarandhra. On the center of our head, there's a hole. That's called Brahmarandhra, the hole of Brahman. The yogis, when they achieve perfection, they leave their body from that hole, Brahmarandhra. Here also you can see, although Aghasura also came to kill Krishna, he achieved the yogic perfection. He left his body through his Brahmarandhra. And he was hovering on the space. His soul was hovering on the in the space. At that time, Brahma actually was watching. Brahma saw that how this demon, whom the demigods even couldn't deal with, this demon was so powerful that just by hearing his name, the demigods would tremble with fear. And that Agha has been killed by this little boy, 5-year-old boy. So Brahma began to wonder, who is this? And then Brahma saw that Aghasura's soul is hovering in the space. And as soon as Krishna came out of his mouth, the soul entered into Krishna's body. So Brahma was wondering, who is this? Is this my Lord Narayan performing his pastimes as a little child? So Brahma kept on watching. So Krishna revived all his friends and the calves and brought them out of Aghasura's mouth and belly. And then Krishna is, along with the boys, went to the bank of Jamuna and let the calves graze there. And then Brahma saw that all these children, letting the calves loose, they are sitting down on the bank of Jamuna, and everyone brought some food from home to eat. So they were having a picnic, bon bhojan. The Sanskrit expression for picnic is bon bhojan. Bon means forest, and eating in the forest. So they were having a picnic in the forest. Yes. And Brahma also noticed some strange thing. One boy, he took a bite on some sweets that his mother made. And then he told Krishna, "Krishna, this sweet made by my mother is so tasty. Have it. Taste it." And Krishna also happily took it and started eating. "Yeah, it's really delicious. Your mother is an excellent sweet maker." And some other boy all of a sudden told Krishna, 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 look at that bird there. And when Krishna looked there, the boy took the food from his plate and started to eat. So this exchange completely bewildered Brahma. He felt that no one, my master Narayan, will never behave like that. Eating somebody's remnants and somebody stealing from his plate. No, no, this cannot be Narayan. So but who is he then? Brahma was in total curiosity. Who is he? Okay, let me check it out. So he took all the calves that were grazing and put them in a cave. All of a sudden they noticed, "Are, none of the calves are here. Where did they go?" So they're in anxiety. What happened to our calves? Not a single one is around. So Krishna said, "You all keep on eating. I will go and find out." So Krishna went to look for the calf. In the meantime, Brahma stole all the cowherd boys also, took them into the cave and put them asleep. So when Krishna couldn't find the calves, and he came back, and he found that now all the cowherd boys are also gone. Krishna wondered, what's happening? And then he realized that it is Mr. Brahma that who is trying to figure out who I am. Okay, Brahma, fine. You want to check me out? Check me out. So Krishna immediately expanded himself into all those cowherd boys and to all those calves. So it took Brahma just 1 second to put the calves and cowherd boys in the cave, asleep in yoga nidra, and he covered the mouth of the cave with a boulder. And then as he looked back, he found that all the cowherd boys are there, all the calves are there, the scene is the same, they all are having picnic, and the calves and cowherd boys are enjoying the association with Krishna. So Brahma wondered, what happened? I put all these calves and cowherd boys in the cave, but now I'm seeing that they're all there. So then Brahma looked inside the cave and he found that all the calves and all the cowherd boys are there. So now Brahma looked back and now he sees that all the cowherd boys and all the calves are Narayan, his worshipable Lord. They all are Narayans. He knew about only one Narayan, and now he is seeing so many Narayans. All the cowherd boys are Narayan. All the calves are Narayan. So Brahma recognized his mistake, that this personality is the origin of Narayan. He is the source of all Narayans. So he begged forgiveness from Krishna and brought the cowherd boys and calves back. So this is how Krishna was performing his wonderful pastimes. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Krishna, one of the purpose of Krishna's coming here is to annihilate the demons. So this is how from the beginning of his pastimes he was annihilating all these demons. In this way, one after another, Krishna kept on killing the demons. Now one day, when Krishna came to Jamuna to tend the cows, he found that as soon as the cows went to drink the water from Jamuna, they all died. What happened? the water of Jamuna became poisonous due to the presence of a serpent called Kaliya. Or the water became poisonous. So Krishna said, okay Kaliya, you want to cause distress to my devotees, I will teach you a lesson. So Krishna jumped from top of a tree that was on the bank of the river. He dove into the water and he started to swim in the water, making sound, making noise. So Kaliya just came out, a big serpent with hundreds of heads. And he caught Krishna, coiled around his body, coiled Krishna up with his body. And Krishna seemed to be dead in the grip of Kaliya. So Krishna, all the cowherd boys started to cry, Krishna, Krishna, what happened? And some boys ran to the village and told that Kaliya, the big serpent, has got Krishna in its coil. So Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan came running. Nanda Maharaj was about to jump into the river to rescue Krishna. So Balaram also came, but Balaram felt that it's Krishna's play, Krishna is playing. So Balaram prevented Nanda Maharaj. Mother Jashoda and other gopis, they all fainted there. So then, seeing the condition of all the devotees, then Krishna started to expand his body. So mind you, his body is in Kaliya's grip, Kaliya's coil. Now as he started to expand his body, what happened? Kaliya's vertebra began to collapse, being stretched. Now Kaliya is in distress. So Kaliya let Krishna loose. And at that time, Krishna just jumped up on Kaliya's head and started to kick him. But Krishna's kicking on Kaliya's head appeared to be like Krishna was dancing. Krishna was dancing, but when his feet fell on Kaliya's head, Kaliya felt the thunders were actually falling on his head, simultaneously, one after another, of his head. So Kaliya is completely in distress. He's almost dying. So Kaliya's wives, the Nagapatnis, came out. Seeing their husband in this distressful condition, they started to pray to Krishna, please forgive your offensive servant. Please allow him to survive. So hearing the prayers of the Nagapatnis, wives of Kaliya, Krishna let Kaliya go. And there's also a story. Garuda had an animosity with the snakes, a general inherent animosity. You see, Kashyapa had two wives, Kadru and Vinata. Kadru was the mother of the snakes. Kadru gave birth to the snakes. And Vinata gave birth to two sons, Arun and Garuda. Arun became the chariot driver of Surya Dev. And Garuda became the carrier of Vishnu. So the snakes have a very vile and envious nature, whereas Garuda and Arun were very gentle, noble personalities. And Kadru and Binata also, their mother also had a kind of an animosity among themselves, although they were sisters, but they had developed some sort of animosity. And one day, when they saw Suryadev rising on his chariot, Kadru say, the color of Suryadev's horses are black. Binata said, no. The color of his horses are white. So then they said, okay, let's have a condition. If I am wrong, Kadru said, then I'll become your servant. And Binata said, okay, if I am wrong, then I'll become your servant. So that night, Kadru was consulting with his sons, and told them about the condition, the challenge they had between themselves. And then the snake said, Mother, you made a big mistake. The color of the horses is white. So the Binata was shocked, my God, so I have to become a servant of Binata, my co-wife, my arch enemy. So my son, you all are so many, save your mother from this distress. Yes, mother, what can you do? You all are black. So wrap around the horse's body. So when the Surya will appear and come, then everyone will see the horses are black. So Binata and Kadru are standing there to see the sun's horse, sun god's horses of his chariot. They saw it's black. And as a result of that, Binata became Kadru's servant. And not only Binata became servant, Garuda also had to become their servant. The snakes used to have all kinds of demand. Hey Garuda, come here. Let's go for a ride. We will ride onto your back and you take us around the whole universe. Garuda like a humble servant. Yes, my masters. But then eventually Garuda got to know what happened, why his mother became their mother's slave. And Garuda said, okay, release my mother. Tell me what you want. The snake said, okay, if you can bring the nectar, then we will release your mother. So Garuda said, fine, I'll get the nectar. So now nectar is in the heaven and it's very well guarded. Nobody can even approach that nectar, pot of nectar. But Garuda got the nectar. And all the demigods attacked him, but Garuda was so powerful that they all were defeated. Indra hurled his vajra, and Garuda felt that after all this vajra was made from sage Dadichi's bones, so I have to show some respect at least. So he let one feather go down, being struck by the thunder. Vajra. So then the Lord came and said, Garuda, if you give this snake, if you give the nectar to the snakes, and if they become immortal, then that is the end of this creation. So Garuda said, so what can I do? So he said, you do one thing, give the nectar to the snakes and release your mother, and then you ask them to get purified. Before drinking the nectar, they should have a bath. So when they'll go to take bath, then I will take care of them. So Garuda acted accordingly. A pot of nectar was given to them, and they released Binata from their slavery. And Garuda suggested, look, you're going to drink this nectar, so you should go and take a bath first. So when they went to take bath, the Lord came and took that pot away. The snakes came back and found that the pot was gone. So they were so heartbroken that they started to lick the kusha grass on which the nectar pot was kept. And because they were licking that kusha grass, which is very sharp, their tongue split into two. Have you seen snake's tongue? It's split, cut. Because they were licking the kusha grass in order to get some nectar. They thought if some nectar at least dropped there, we'll get the benefit. So this is how Vinata was released. And so in this way, the Lord performed his wonderful pastimes along with his devotees. Okay, maybe I can tell just another demon being killed. So this demon is Arishtasura. Oh yeah, I didn't complete this story. So, and as a result of that, Garuda developed an animosity. So when the Lord asked Garuda to get some benedictions, Garuda said, let snakes become my food. And Garuda now started to eat all the snakes up, taking revenge. And then finally, the snakes made a truce with him, that instead of eating the snakes indiscriminately, we make a condition that on such and such day every month, we will offer you a snake to eat. So now, one day, it was Kaliya's turn. But Kaliya, instead of being food of Garuda, he challenged Garuda and he ran away to that lake inside Jamuna, because he knew that Garuda cannot go there. Why Garuda couldn't go there? Because there was a sage called Saubhari Rishi was meditating under the water. And so being under the water, he developed some relationship with the fish in water. And one day he saw that Garuda came and ate up a big fish, the king of the fish. So Saubhari was very upset. You, Garuda, you are coming here and eating these innocent fishes. So I curse you that if you come here again, you will die. Now Kaliya knew about that. That's being afraid of the curse, Garuda doesn't go there. So he went and took shelter of Kaliyarad in Jamuna. So now Krishna banished him from there. Now you go away. Then Kaliya said, you see, I am taking shelter of this place because Garuda is going to eat me up otherwise. So Krishna said, now that my footprints are there on your head, Garuda won't do anything. So now you go to Ramanakdeep and stay there. So that is why Kaliya was subdued by Krishna. So this morning I said that I'll give you some time for question answers. So now we will have some questions. Don't give me too many questions. Give the questions. Advaita Acharya Das, Allahabad. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Yeah, I saw you yesterday and today. I'm very happy that you came. Thank you. I hope you are happily situated here. The boys are taking care of you nicely. Thank you. Yeah, the question here from Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Devaki was daughter of Devaka, but Kamsa was son of Ugrasen. Then how Kamsa and Devaki became brother and sister, different father? No, they are actually brother and sister. Like in Indian culture, the cousins are also considered brothers and sisters. They are actually cousins. Devaka was Ugrasen's brother. So Ugrasen and Devaka were brothers. So Ugrasen's son is Kamsa. Devaka's son, daughter is Devaki. So in that relationship, Kamsa and Devaki were brother and sister. Thank you. Harendra Krishna Das, Tangail, Bangladesh. Bangla Prashno, Bangladesh Thekeshche. Harendra Krishna, kothay tumi? Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kangsho, Dantabakra, Shishupal, Tara Asur hoye Bhagavaner hate parast hoye Mukti labh korechilo. Kintu Asurder Mukti ebong Bhagavaner Shuddho Bhakter Mukti eki rokom kina Guru Maharaj kripa kore bolben ki? Generally, okay, let me first answer in Bengali. Tumi Bangla translation shunte pachho? Ami Bangla bolchi, ami Ingrite bolle Bangla pachho tumi. Okay. Yeah, when the demons are killed by Krishna, generally they get Sajujya Mukti. They merge in Brahma Jyoti, the bodily effulgence of the Lord. And Sajujya Mukti, therefore, is not really a reward, it's a punishment. They lose their consciousness thinking that they have become Brahman. So devotees don't want or they get Sajujya Mukti. Devotees get other four types of muktis: Sarupya, Salakya, Samipya and Shashti. Salakya, the devotees get a chance to be in the same place where the Lord is. Sarupya, same form as the Lord. Samipya, facility to be with the Lord. And Shashti, having the same opulence as the Lord. So these four types of liberations are given to the devotees. But Sajujya Mukti is given to the demons. But many of these demons, because they were killed by Krishna, they got a very special liberation of Sarupya, Samipa, etc., which is given to the devotees. So in Krishna's pastimes, most of the demons didn't get Sajujya Mukti but got Sarupya Mukti and so forth. বুঝতে পারলে? ওকে, পাঁচ রকমের মুক্তি আছে। তার মধ্যে একটা হচ্ছে সাযুজ্য, যাতে ব্রহ্মজ্যোতিতে লীন হয়ে যায়, আর আর বাকি চারটা হচ্ছে সামীপ্য, শালক্য, সারূপ্য আর শাস্তি। এই চারটে মুক্তি ভক্তরা গ্রহণ করে, সাযুজ্য মুক্তি ভক্তরা গ্রহণ করে। So this question is Krishna Namamrit Das. Where is Krishna Namamrit? Okay. Dear Guru Maharaj, thank you very much for your nice lecture. Question: is Banasura is capable to kill Kamsa, as you said, Maharaj, that Lord Shiva stopped Banasura to kill? No, but Banasura wanted to kill Kamsa. But Lord Shiva came and told Banasura, Banasura, you won't be able to kill him. He's meant to be killed by Krishna only. So stop fighting with him. So Banasura became friend of Kamsa. Next one, no name. Guru Maharaj, Pamho, you are mentioning in your talk about the bow of Parashuram and he gave it to Kamsa. We see in Treta Yuga, Janak Maharaj also had the same bow given by Parashuram and Ram strung it. Yes. Is there any relation between the pastimes? Yes. Parashuram had this bow, and in Janakraj's court, Janakraj's palace, there was also another bow of Lord Shiva, Haradhanu. And Janak actually made it a condition that whoever could string this bow would get Sita Devi in marriage. And Ramchandra not only strung the bow, and he broke the bow. So that was the bow of Lord Shiva. So when he was returning to Ayodhya, along with his father Dasharath and others, then Parashuram came and confronted him, thinking that he's a Kshatriya. Oh, you are another upstart, arrogant Kshatriya. You broke Lord Shiva's bow. Who do you think you are? Come, take my bow and see if you can string this. So at that time, Lord Ramchandra took the bow. And when he took the bow, he also took away all the potency that he invested in Parashuram. Parashuram is a Shaktavesh avatar. That means the empowered incarnation. The Lord empowered him with some special potency. The potency that the Lord gave to Parashuram, now he took it back. So that is the difference. And this bow, Parashuram later gave to Ravan. I'm sorry, the letter gave to this Kamsa. In Treta Yuga, he had this encounter with Ramchandra, and in Dwapar Yuga, he gave this bow to Kamsa with an assure, with a reward, warning. I'm giving you the bow, but when this bow is broken, that will be your end. And whoever will string the bow and break the bow, he will kill you. Announcing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will come and kill you. So this question is Mukunda Hari Das. Hare Krishna Mukunda Hari. My question is from this morning session. Who are the Lords Shukla and Rakta appearance in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga? In Satya Yuga it is Hamsavatar who teaches the yoga, which is the Yuga Dharma meditation, the Yuga Dharma. And in Treta Yuga, the Rakta or red incarnation is Jagyeshwar, who comes to establish the principle of Yajna. So Hamsa and Yajna. So these questions came from Premavatar Das. I have two questions which are asked many times by students. If Kamsa knows that the eight sons will kill him, why he put them together, or how six were born? If Kamsa knows the eighth son will kill him, why he put them together? What does it mean, he put them together? Where is Premavatar? Put them together? They didn't put them together. They came one after another. Give Maharaj the mic to give the answer. Or clarify the question.
Because he wanted to mention Vasudeva and Devaki separately. That's how they took birth.
Well, during the six children up to seventh Balaram, they were together. During Krishna's birth, they were put into prison. And in Krishna's birth, from Devaki, from Vasudev's heart, Krishna was transferred to Devaki's womb. Not through seminal discharge they were born. Krishna was born. No. It was transmission from the heart. So does it answer the question, Maharaj? Okay.
Perfect, Ramaj.
Okay, next question also. Why Devaki and Vasudev produce sons if they are to be killed? Kindly enlighten. Well, it had to be Krishna's pastimes. So one way was, let us have these children so that the eighth one will be born, and then he will come and kill Krishna. Another way to look at it is, the demigods were making the arrangement. They wanted it to come quickly. That's why it was Narad Muni actually who told Kamsa. That Kamsa, from which count it will be eighth? From front to back, back to front, from middle to middle. So don't take any chance. Because the first son could be the eighth one. Because you see, these demigods are very tricky. They may put things in such a way that you may not be able to understand it. So although Kamsa let the first son given to Vasudev, but then he changed his mind. Now the question is, why did Narad Muni do that? These children to be born, children right after their birth to be killed by Kamsa. The reason is demigods were telling Narad Muni, Narad Muni, please do something that Krishna's appearance become quicker. Because if this child survives, then Devaki will take long time to have the pregnancy. Because if this child survives, the mother takes long time to become pregnant. But if the child dies, then the mother quickly becomes pregnant. So that was actually demigod's appeal. And one thing we have to understand, that Krishna's pastimes are like a drama on a stage. When you watch a drama, you cannot question why it was not like that. Why did they get married? Why didn't they produce children? They could have, they knew that Kamsa is going to kill them. But the arrangement is that Krishna is going to come to kill Kamsa. So that's why all this arrangement. Kalavati Radhika Dasi. Guru Maharaj, thank you so much for telling such wonderful and enchanting pastimes of Krishna. Became even more nectarian while coming out of your lotus mouth. My question is regarding the morning class. Question: what is the role of Kamdev in Krishna's pastimes? In Krishna's pastimes, Kamdev became Pradyumna. As he came as Pradyumna, Krishna's own son. Yeah, the pastimes is his pastimes. I'll tell you about Pradyumna's pastimes. What happened? How he was born, and when he was not even 10 days old, Sambarasura kid stole away. Pradyumna was thrown into the ocean. Fisham and a fish swallowed him up. Then a fisherman caught the fish, and the fish was presented, seeing such a big fish, presented it to the king of that place, Sambarasura. And when Sambarasura sent it, said, okay, sent it to the cook to make some nice fish curry. So when the fish head cook was cutting the fish, then from the fish's belly, he found his little child, still alive. And then he gave it to his assistant. And that assistant happens to be Rati, Kamdev's wife. Anyway, so I'll tell the whole story sometime. So that is Pradyumna. Pradyumna's pastimes. Simantini Devi Dasi. Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, as you told many times, as you told, many demons were sent to kill Krishna. Krishna killed all demons. Guru Maharaj, I feel that many demons are residing in my heart. When I try to kill them, another stands up and becomes an obstacle in my Krishna conscious path. Guru Maharaj, please tell me when all these demons in my heart will be killed and I can be fully Krishna conscious devotee. Very good. Nice question. So, do you want to kill the demons? I thought women don't like to kill. Better to conquer them. Right? So the conquering means, yes, these demons are there in our hearts in the form of lust, greed, anger, etc. So how to overcome them? How to conquer them? By being Krishna conscious. When you become a devotee of Krishna, then what happens to lust? Desire to enjoy this material world. Do you want to enjoy? No. When you surrender to Krishna, then that tendency goes away. Krishna kills that. So, instead of we killing them, let Krishna conquer them. Okay? Parameshwari Radhika Devi Dasi Guru Gram. Where is Parameshwari Devi Dasi? Thank you. Although all demons had some motives to kill Krishna, but Putana got position as a mother and And others like Aghasura were merged in Krishna's body. So merging into Krishna's body is not really merging into Brahma Jyoti. Aghasura also got Sarupya, got the same form as Krishna. That's why I said, when these demons were killed by Krishna, it was different. They got Sarupya or Salakya, liberation. Like Putana got Salakya, a facility to be in the same planet with Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sharashati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Dishatarine.